The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas Truma. In Parashas Truma, we start to study about the many commandments of the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary. The Mishkan was also called the Mikdosh. Mishkan means, from the word shochem, to dwell, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled there. Mikdosh means something which is sanctified, from the word kodosh. And this was the sanctuary which was built in the Midbar, in the desert, shortly after the going out of Egypt. They went out of Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt. It was Lil Pesach, the night of Pesach, which was the 15th of Nisan, and the starting of the building of the Mishkan was Mocharis Yom HaKippurim, the day after Yom Kippur. It was the day which was approximately 6 months later, which was the day after the Luchais HaShniyais, the second tablets were given. And all of its kelim, all of the various objects and items that were necessary for the Mishkan. And this was the forerunner of the Beis HaMikdosh, which was built by David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, King David and King Solomon, many, many years later, in Yerushalayim. The purpose, the Torah tells us, was in order that there should be a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell. As it states here, Vosuli Mikdosh, you shall make for me a sanctuary, Vishochamti Bisechom, that I shall dwell amongst you. And this was a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBechira, mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment, Laseis Bais LaShem, to make a home, a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Muchen liyais makrivin be'akorbonis. And this home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will you do in it? It will be set aside for the sacrificing of sacrifices. V'chaygigin elov shlesh pomim bashono. And also it will be set aside for all of Klal Yisrael to come there 3 times a year. We have a mitzvah of Elis Regolim, that Shleish Pomim Bashona Yeroea calls Churcho 3 times a year. Everyone should come and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is during the Yom Tovim. Shneamar Ve'osu Li Mikdosh, as it states, you shall make for me the sanctuary. B'kfar Nisparish B'Torah Mishkan Shosu Meisha Rabbeinu. And it's explained and explicit in the Torah, the sanctuary that Moshe made in the desert, and that was of a temporary measure, although that sanctuary lasted for 40 years in the desert and many hundreds of years later, until they came to their final menucha, their final dwelling place in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And this was during the time, as we mentioned, of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. The Rambam says further, in Halacha, in Halacha Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, that when we built the Beis HaMikdosh, the permanent dwelling, it was done very elaborate. Maratz bin kol ha'azor ba'avonim yikoresh. we covered the entire area of the floor with precious stones. For example, u'mitzvah min amufka lechazek es abinyan u'lagbi kfikayach hatzibur. And it's a mitzvah, if possible, to make this into a most beautiful and elaborate structure in accordance to the wealth of the people. Shneimar, as it states, u'lareimem es beis elokeinu, that we should uplift the house of Hashem. U'mefarin esei, u'meyafin, and we beautify it, and we make it glorious in accordance to their wealth. Im yecholin latuach esei bazov, u'lahagdil b'maisov, harei ze mitzvah. If we can cover it all in gold, then this is a mitzvah. Then the Rambam continues, Ein bonin es amigdash b'laylo, shenemar b'yem hekim es amishkon, b'yem hekim b'laylo. This is a positive commandment, but it did not take place at night. It was just during the day. Ve'eskin b'binyan ma'aleis ha'shachar atzeis ha'kechovim. And we would occupy ourselves with this mitzvah. Now this was then, and this was every time they built the first Mikdash, the second one, and this will be again when we build the third base of Mikdash, when the Melech HaMashiach comes, b'meirov yameinu. That we will occupy ourselves with this building from dawn until darkness. V'akol chayov in livnois. And everyone is obligated to build u'lisoei b'atzmein u'b'meinom. And everyone is obligated to help in the building, both physically and materially. Anoshim v'noshim. Men and women, kemigdash hamidbar, like the sanctuary of the desert. They ask the question that really women should not be obligated in this mitzvah, because since it was not a mitzvah at night but just during the day, so this makes it a mitzvah. This is mangroma. This was a mitzvah, a positive commandment which is governed by time, and women are ktureis. Women are free from such mitzvahs. So on that, the Kesef Mishnah brings, but we learn out from the Migdosh of the Midbar, from the sanctuary of the desert, that women were also involved, because it states many times that the women came and they did that and they did this. See, they did a lot of the sewing and so forth. So we see that they were also involved in the mitzvah. So from there we learn out that women also are obligated. But the Rambam says something else incidentally here, which is Roi Lahaskir, which is very important to mention, even though it doesn't have to do with the actual mitzvah of the building of the Mikdash. He says, even though it is such a great mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that everyone has to share in, both physically and materially, and from morning till night, men and women, nevertheless, we cannot disturb the children from their learning for this mitzvah. Now there the question is asked, what do you mean you do not disturb the children from learning? Why should you? The children are not obligated in mitzvahs, the ketanim, the less in bar mitzvah, so the pturim mikol mitzvahs, they're free of all mitzvahs. So what does it mean that the children are not obligated? So the answer there is yes, the children are not obligated, but those teaching them are. So therefore we would have to be mevatel, we would have to close the schools in order that the teachers could go and help build. So on that, Chazal say no. The importance of Tinekishel Beis Rabban, of teaching children in schools of Torah, takes priority even over the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore the Malamdim, the teachers, those who taught Torah, were not allowed to come and to help him build, because they weren't allowed to leave the children. Bein binyan beis hamikdash teicha yemtev, and even though it's such a great mitzvah, but nevertheless it doesn't take precedence over yemtev. And we are learning presently Masechta Yevamos, where there the Gemara brings also, and it certainly doesn't take precedence over Shabbos. So this is concisely the mitzvah of the osu l'migdosh v'shachanti b'seichon, the building of a beis hamikdosh. Now Even though we can learn many, many things, we do learn many, many things, many principles, and even a great deal of Sisrei Torah, the secrets of the Torah, to no end, because we have so much material here in the Torah. I'm telling us every detail on how to build the Mishkan and the Kelim and everything that went into it, and what materials to use. Here is mentioned that we should use Zohar, Kesef, and Nechoshes, gold, silver, and copper, Tchelis Vargamon, and we should use the wool which is dyed with a certain type of a creature, a chalozin, that was sort of a blue wool, and then a purple wool, and a salashoni, and a scarlet wool, v'sheish v'izim, and the linen, and the goat's hair, and different types of skins from that were colored, from rams, and from a special animal that was known as the tachash, and the atzei shittim, and the cedar wood, and then there was the oil, and there was the special solutions made from various incense, and the precious stones, and so forth and so on. And everything that should be made. So it's endless what one can learn from this if he goes into the depth of the Torah Shebikshav and the Torah Shebalpeh, the written law and the oral law. But there's one explicit principle that we see on the surface, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell b'tachteinim. He wanted to dwell in this world. So he said, build for me a home in order that I may dwell amongst you. Also li migdosh v'shochanti b'seichon. This he said explicitly, without going into any sisrei Torah, without going into any secrets of the Torah. And this is something which we can give thought to. What does this mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell in this world? Actually, the Medrash Rabbah brings here that when Moshe heard this command, he was Tameah. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Shemayim, Ushmeah Shemayim. He has endless heavens. He lives in the heights of the Shivim Rakia, seven heavens and above. What's he going to come down and live in a tent? Here, in this world. What does he need that for? Secondly, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did want to come and live in this world, which, as I said, what does that mean? But why then do we put such emphasis on building him a home out of physical materials and physical wealth? If it would be a Melech Bosav Adom, a king of flesh and blood. So this is how such a king would choose a palace. He would say, bring gold, bring silver, bring the best copper, bring the best jewels. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is Bilti Chaimah. He's not physical. So it would have seemed better, far better, to be Mamayat, to minimize from the physical perspective, and build him something, the less physical the better. And the further distant from the physical world would be better. Yet we see that everything in the Beis HaMikdash was chumrias, was from plain physical chaymer, physical elements of this world. So what does all of this mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell in this world? And how can he dwell in this world, and yet we should go and build a home which is purely physical for him? The explanation to this is, is we have two types of people. Yesh b'nei Odom, they are what? One type of person that since he himself is created from the physical world, this man was created ofer min adama, from the dust, and he himself was given a drive which attracts him to everything of the physical world. So you have a type of person that becomes enormously attached to the physical world from where he comes from, and he becomes totally engrossed in the physical world. He buries himself in the physical world to the point where there's almost no difference between him and an animal, because he's physical and he's attracted to everything that's physical, and an animal's physical and he's attracted to everything that's physical. Right? He might be a little more sophisticated. And the proof of this is, in our generation, is Darwin's theory that you have intelligent people, great scientists or philosophers, whoever they might be, that can come to a conclusion that man evolved from an animal, or even less than an animal. This is a proof that in their eyes there is no distinction, basically, between a man and an animal, or a man and less than an animal. There's no distinction. It's just that it's a question of evolution. Some evolved a little less, a frog evolved a little less, see? An insect even less, an animal a little more, and man a little more. Because if man was another creature, another creation, than an animal, then how could he evolve from an animal? This was the Bechina, this was the dimension of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. The Torah tells us, Lishasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem asher atem zonim achareihem. Do not let yourselves be drawn and be attracted and be led astray to all that your heart desires in this world. Because your heart desires it, therefore you go and take it. And because your eyes desire it, therefore you go and take it. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, because these were the ways of Egypt. And I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt, has separated you from Egypt. Because Mitzrayim, they were the epitome of a people that became totally attached to the physical level of the world. They were physical, they became attached to the physical world. They were shakua. They became totally overwhelmed with the physical world, and they became part of it. They became part of it to the point where you could not distinguish between them and an animal. Not to say that they looked like an animal, but like we said before, what was the difference? They were more sophisticated. Well, a horse can be more sophisticated than a dog, and still both are from the animal species. An animal is physical, a man is physical. A man has instincts, an animal has instincts. Animal also has intelligence. Man has more intelligence. But it's just a question of a progression. This is why the Novi, the prophet, said on Mitzrayim, he said, Sorum ki psar chamorim, bzera ki zera, zarum ki zera susim. He said that their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and their seed is like the seed of horses. And because of that, they sunk to the lowest levels of physical depravity, of physical transgressions. In the Parshas Oharais, in Parshas Achrei Mais, where the Torah tells us that you shall not commit abominations such as incest and adultery. So there, the Torah tells us, after all of this, in the beginning, it says, this is in Perek Yud Ches of Vayikra, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'malta aleihem ani Hashem alakeichem k'maase eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo leisasru. That you shall not emulate the acts of Egypt where you lived. There was also another group of people, and these were the Canaanim. The Canaanim were the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael came there, when they came from Egypt. And they were as bad as Egypt. So it states, Ukemas Eretz Canaan asher ani mevi eschem shoma leisasru. And you shall not emulate the Canaanim who are living in the land which I am going to bring you to. And you should not follow their ways. And then the Torah tells us all of the abominations of incest, of adultery, of human sacrifices. At the end, the Torah tells us again, and this is Pasuk Chof Zayin, ki es kol ha-ta'evos ha'el osu anshi oretz, asher lifneichem. All of these things that I'm telling you not to do. And this is the lowest of the physical transgressions of man. It says all of these things. This is what the Egyptians did. These are what the Canaanim did. Batit ma'oretz. And if you will do these things, then you will bring tumah, you will bring impurity to Eretz Yisrael. Rambam brings in Hilchos Isuri Biyah, Perechof Aleph, Halacha Ches, he says, Shenemar Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim Leisasu. You shall not emulate the ways of Egypt. Omru Chachomim Malhoyo Osim. The Chachomim say, what did they do? Ish nei say ish. A man would marry a man. This is what we have today. Today, it's a discussion in Parliament. And this is not South African. This is imported from Western culture. How, or can we officially constitute a marriage between man and another man? Ish naise ish, bi isha naise isha, and a woman would marry a woman. Bi isha nisas lishne anoshim, and one woman would be married to two men. He says, these are all known as kemase eretz Mitzrayim, the acts of the people of Egypt. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leishasuru achrei levavchem achrei neichem asher atem zonim achareihem. Do not be drawn. Do not be attracted. Do not be led astray to what your heart desires or to what your eyes desire from the physical depravities of the world. Because Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because I am the Lord your God that have taken you out of this. This is why I took you out of this. This was the Egypt. This was the Canaanim. And I have taken you out. Liyos Lachem Lelokim. In order that I will be your God. I will uplift you. And we find this also, that they were shtufim. They were drawn and attracted to very, very low levels of eating and drinking. What does that mean? They would eat dvorim amu'usim, that what natural man detests. That's why it states in the laws of shrotzim, where the Torah gives us the mitzvahs not to eat creeping creatures, not to eat creatures that are mu'usim, that are detestable to man. It states, because Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Aleisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who has uplifted you out of Egypt. They were shtufim in all types of detestable aveiros zaros, strange and alien ways of serving strange gods, sacrificing their children, and so forth and so on. Now, what was their problem? Their problem was one problem. They had removed all kedusha, all sanctity from man. In their eyes, this was not with intention, but in their eyes, man was purely a physical being. That's why the prophet said, why are you different than a donkey? Why are you different than a horse? Well, you're a little more intelligent, good. See? But man was purely a physical being without any dimension of sanctity. Therefore he could sink into such lows. And where they law and human life had no sanctity. Human life had no sanctity. So then there's shfichas domim. What does it mean to spill blood? You can, just like we sacrifice, we slaughter animals by the millions because we need them to eat. So this was human life to them also. This was one derech, one way in which people lived. Unfortunately, more disastrously, if you look at our generation, you'll see that this is what our generations have headed for, where they have removed all sanctity from man. People claim they have constitutional rights. What's their constitutional rights? To do as they see fit. To do what their heart desires and to do what their eyes desire. Exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisusur acharei levavchem acharei neichem, asher atem zonim acharei. There is nothing anymore that's wrong. See? And therefore they have sunk into the lowest depravities where gila rayis, adultery, incest means nothing anymore. And the most strange acts, shvichas domim, human life means nothing anymore. Except the life of a criminal. That's the only life that seems to have any sanctity. But life of innocent people mean nothing anymore. They can slaughter people through wars, slaughter innocent babies, see, and so forth. And aveiros zaros, all types of strange worships, alien worships. Now, we have another derech. There's another way. You have people who, instead of being drawn by the physical components of their makeup to the physical earth, they are drawn just the opposite. Man was given a spirit also. Because of the spirit, they are drawn the malo, upwards. And they realize that this world is a lowly physical world. It's a world which there's a lot of things which are disgusting in this world, and low in this world, and animalistic in this world. So because of that, they want to seek that which is of a high level. And they want to minimize in the physical elements of this world. And they seek what to in their eyes is a more sanctified life. The Rambam mentions this in the beginning of Perek Gimel Hilchos Deos. Maybe it's just sufficient if you close the curtain. In the beginning of Hilchos Deos, the Rambam says, Shema Yemar Adam. Maybe a person will say, Ho'il v'hakino v'hataiva v'hakovid u'kayetzu behem derech rohi. Maybe a person will say, this is already a more intelligent being than the first type that we mentioned. He'll say, look, he says, jealousy and envy destroys a person. Physical desires destroy a person. The search for glory and honor destroys a person. I am going to totally divorce myself from these things. And I won't have anything to do with these things. He will not, until he lives a life where he doesn't indulge in meat, he'll never indulge in wine. He will not marry. He will not go to the trouble to find himself a nice home. He'll dress in rags. He won't dress up nicely. Who is he speaking about? Now this is something that we don't see too much in our world, because in our world is tipped the scales the other way. But this was a very, very strong philosophy. We saw a little of it in the hippie movement. The hippie movement decided that this civilization is rotten. It started with the Vietnam War, but they were sent over to the jungles to kill and get killed themselves, and nobody ever knew what the war was all about. See, and they got tired of it. And they thought the Western culture was rotten, so we're going to get out of it. We'll go out into the woods, and we'll live in a tent. We'll live in a truck. See, and we won't shave, and we won't take haircuts. See, and we won't dress up nicely, and we won't buy homes. So there you saw a little of it. But these were very, very strong movements at times. The Rambam writes, "Who are these? Kegain, Kahani, Avdi, Kekovim." He says, "Like the Kahanim of the idolaters." You had idolatrous movements where this is how their leaders lived. We still have. They would separate themselves from society. They would go into convents, or they would go into desolate places in the world. Actually, you find a good number of them in the Himalayas or in such places. They would separate themselves from the evils of the world. They wouldn't marry. They would live a life of what, in their eyes, was a life of purity. And they would not pursue inyone olam hazeh. They would not pursue all of the so-called good things of this world. They would just eat what is basically necessary to survive, to exist. They would drink what is just necessary to exist. They would never touch any intoxicating drinks. And they would wear only what is They would dress in robes, in black robes, see, and so forth. These were the Kahane Eibdi Kechovim, the Rambam says. So, it seems this is a very intelligent way. Because if you don't do this, you're going to end up like the Mitzrayim and the Canaanim. You'll end up like the Egyptians. Gamze derech rohi, the Rambam writes. This is an evil way. This is as evil as the other way. Va'osa leilech bo. And a Jew is not allowed to walk in this way. Amahalach b'derech zu nikra chayta. And if a Jew walks in this way, he's called a chayta. He's a sinner. And we learn this from Nozir. Because actually, the Nazirite, the Nozir, was a dimension of this. What was the Nozir? Also someone. All of a sudden, he would decide that he's not going to cut his hair, he's not going to drink wine, and he's not going to come near any impurities, and he'll live a so-called holy life. The Nozir has to bring an atonement for his sin. In the Chazal, the sages say, what kind of sin did the Nozir do? Omru Chachomim. Umayim Nozir shalei pirish ele min ayayin sor kapora min eyatzmi mikol dover dover lachas kama vakama. The Chachomim said, what was his sin? His sin was becoming a Nozir. That was his sin. His sin is because he has forbade himself from the goodness of the physical world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted him. And the Chachomim said, if he only forbade himself from just wine, and on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you have to bring a kapora, you have to bring a special atonement. So how much more so if somebody says, I'm not going to eat at all? L'fichok tziva Chachomim. Therefore, the Chachomim has commanded, a person is not allowed to deny himself that which the Torah has not denied him. And a person is not allowed to forbade himself with nedarim and shvuas, with vows and oaths, that which is permissible to him. Kachomur Chachomim. The sages said, Le'dayecho masha osra Torah, elashata esa lechot varim achirim. It's not enough what the Torah forbade us. We're not allowed to eat so many different types of animals. We're not allowed to eat so many different types of chayas. We're not allowed to eat so many different types of birds. We're not allowed to eat so many different types of fish. We're not allowed to eat so many different types of insects. We're not allowed to wear certain garments. And we're not allowed to marry all different types of women. So it's not enough. I would say there's plenty. We need more mitzvahs. So it's not enough what the Torah denied you. You have to go and add to it that what the Torah permitted you. See? The Torah did permit you to get married. The Torah did permit you, as long as you marry the proper woman, the Torah did permit you to drink wine, as long as you don't become a shikur from it. See? The Torah did permit you to eat meat, as long as it's from the proper animal and it's prepared properly. And now you came along and you, asr, you forbade yourself, forbid you on yourself that what the Torah permitted. You are a sinner, and you need a kapora, you need an atonement. He says, inclusive in these are these people who fast a lot. They fast above and beyond the requirements of the Torah and the sages. A person is not allowed to inflict self-suffering. You have, see, we don't see it too much today, but there were deris. Actually, it usually comes by the nations of the world, it's the pendulum. It swings from one extreme to the other, and it could swing that way. But what you have is that to the point of extreme fanaticism in the other direction, where it was popular to inflict on oneself self-suffering. And so the Rambam says this is forbidden. We're not allowed to do this. And on this, Shlema HaMelech said, he said, "Akol devarim evel k'yetzben." What did Shlema say, King Solomon? "Al tiyat tzadik harbe." By separating yourself from the evils of the world, you're a tzadik. You're righteous. But you're going too far. You're too righteous. Don't be too righteous. And don't be, you should be wise, but not too wise. You shall not isolate yourself. Now, so this was a second approach, that if the world is full of depravities, if it's full of evils, so adara, all right, divorce yourself from it and go to the other extreme. No. So either way is not good. Now there's a third approach. The third approach is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he did not evolve from an animal. He's a different creation altogether. He couldn't have evolved from an animal. Because for one thing to evolve from another, then that first thing that gives birth to it must encompass the dimensions of that what's being born from it. Otherwise it can't give birth to such a thing. It states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an animal, so there in one of the words of the Torah by the creation of the animal, there's a letter, there's one yud. When he created man, in one of the words where he created man, there's two yuds. Because I'll say, what's the difference? Because the animal was created for this world. He was created from this world. He was to live on this world, and he was to die on this world. This is all animal life. This is all life on this world. Yotze min haklal hazeh, there was one exception. That was man. Man was created for this world and for the next world. He was created from this world and from upper worlds. And he was created to live on both worlds and even after he would leave this world, he would go into the next world. This is why man was created ofer min ha'adamah va'yotzer aso odom ofer min ha'adamah va'yipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. He was created from the earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a soul from above. He was created from both worlds. And he has in himself both worlds. And when he lives to the shleimus, to the fullness of himself, and to the fullness of his abilities, then he lives with both worlds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he must go uredu, b'degas hayom. He should rule in both worlds, to the depths of the sea and to the heights of the heaven. He should rule in both worlds. Now what does that mean? That means where he cannot become drowned himself in the physical world itself. On the other hand, like an animal, and on the other hand, he cannot climb into the heavens like an angel. We have Dorimato and Dorimalo. We have those that live entirely in this world. That was the behemoth, that was the old wildlife. We have those that live in an upper world, the Malochim, the angels. Man is neither. He has to live in both worlds. The Rambam writes in Halacha Beis and Gimel of Hilchos Deos. He says that when a man serves Hashem, you see, the Egyptians, they had a very alien and depraved way of serving Hashem, because they were living in the gutter of the world. The Kahane Evde Azora, those priests of idolatry, they were serving Hashem in an alien way by divorcing themselves from the world. The Rambam writes, Orechodim Shihavan Liba Vachol Masov Kulam Leidas Hashem Baruch Hu Bilvad. A Jew has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his entire life, everything that he does on this world. Yeshiftai, Bekumai, Vidiburai, whether he's sitting, when he stands, when he talks, it all has to be in the direction of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, he says when he goes to work, well, we would think you go to work, that has nothing to do with Hashem. No, he shouldn't go to work merely for the sake of making money and becoming wealthy, but his intention should be that he goes to work in order that he will make money, in order that he can buy for himself healthy foods and healthy drink and for his family and have a house and support a wife and a family, in order that they can all serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he eats, so he must realize that even through eating he's serving Hashem, even through drinking he's serving Hashem. And he goes into great detail in this. Then he writes, Nimtza amahalech b'derech zu, someone who walks in this way, kol yom av eviras Hashem tamid, he's doing mitzvahs all of the time, he's serving Hashem in everything that he does. Afilu b'shosh neisim v'neisim, even when he's in business, even when he's sleeping, he said he's serving Hashem. Afilu b'shosh shu yoshen, when he's sleeping, he's serving Hashem. Why? Because if he sleeps for the sake to rest his body and to rest his mind, in order that he should be strong and healthy and he shouldn't get sick, and then he can be a good servant to Hashem. He says, Nimtza shina shalei avedes lamokom. It comes out that shina, the sleeping, is a mitzvah. And this is what the Chachomim said, Yakol masecha yeh l'shem shamayim. Everything that you do in this world, you eat, you drink, whatever you do, you work, it should be done for the sake of Hashem. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Behold, rochecha de'ehu, hu ya'asher orchasecha. That you shall be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every step that you take, and everything that you do, and then He will lead you in the right way. Now, this is what it's meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell in this world. He created a man who was a giant and who stood in this world and his head went into the next, who encompassed both worlds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to dwell among such people, where he also will be able to come down into this world. These people will be able to make a home for him in this world, because this world will not be a world that's detached from the upper worlds, but this will be a world that is part of the upper worlds, that's infused by the upper worlds, and that's sanctified by the upper worlds, in order that there will be a synthesis between the two worlds and they will be one. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to dwell in it. Just like he made man himself, we do not say that man is two people, He's a dual personality. We do not say he's sometimes physical and sometimes spiritual. No. Everything he does is both physical and spiritual. Everything physical he does is infused with the spirit. Everything that he does with the spirit is infused with his physical elements, to the point where they become one. They are inseparable. If the two worlds merge together and they become one, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a place. If they are separated from each other, then he has no place in either. Therefore he said, Vosuli Mignosh Vishwachanti Bisechom, make for me a home in your world that I can come and dwell, and it will unite both worlds together. This is why the Dafka, explicitly the Beis HaMikdosh, had to be only from physical elements. He didn't need man to build a spiritual abode for him. That was what Moshe asked him. Why do you want to come into this world? You have the heavens are all yours. What are you coming down here for? He said, I'm coming down here because I want to live together with man that I created. But with a man who can take both worlds and attach them together, infuse them together, so they'll be one. So it has to be only with physical elements. And these physical elements will be elevated to the point where they'll be part of the Olam HaElyon, the higher worlds also. And that's why we find that everything here was, if it was with wood or stone or gold or silver or copper or wool or linen or the different colors of the argomon and the tcheles or the animals or the skins of the animals or the sacrifices were all the physical animals, or the wheat and the meal that came from the wheat. But at the same time we see that even though all of this was from the simple physical world, so-called simple physical world, they were metal deposits taken out from the earth, stones taken out from the earth. They were animals, the goats and the sheep and the cattle. But once they were set aside for the Beis HaMikdosh, was chal on them, a kedusha, they became sanctified. So what do we see? We see that you could take from the lowest elements of this world and bring it to the heights of kedusha, of sanctity. Once you took a cow and you said that this should be for a sacrifice, hareze korban, it was kodesh, it was sanctified. You couldn't work with that cow anymore. You couldn't take its milk. Drink its milk, you couldn't take its wool from it. You couldn't use its skin. It was kodesh l'Hashem. So from one aspect, it's from the lowest element of the world, and from the other aspect, it became sanctified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the uniting of the two worlds, the infusion of it. So from there, what do we learn? That we are not to become lost in this world through overindulgence, and on the other hand, we are not to divorce ourselves from this world by trying to climb into the heavens. But we are to be shaleh, to rule over both worlds, to take all of the physical elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted us to take in this world and to sanctify them to the point where they become synonymous and attached to the highest levels of the heavens. Mesillas Yesharim brings, he says that we have two dimensions. One dimension is known as tahara, purity, and another dimension which is known as kedusha, sanctity. He says, what is the difference between the two? He says, there's a great difference. He says, tuma, tahara, purity, is where you separate yourself from something that is impure. In such a situation, it would have been better if there was no impurities around that you had to separate yourself from. So Tara is only a level that we come to because there was an impurity. But had there been no impurity, that would have been better. You would be pure without separating yourself from the impurities. You would be tohar without separating yourself from the tomei. Then we have another dimension, kedusha. What is kedusha? He says, kedusha is when you take something which is chol. Chol is something which is not sanctified. See, it's not sanctified. You take a stone, you take a piece of metal, you take an animal, it's not sanctified. And you say, you take food, and you sanctify it. Now you have elevated that level. You have elevated that to the level of kedusha, of sanctity. You take a glass of wine and you make kiddush on it. You've elevated it now to the point where there's some sanctity in it. All right. He says that level can only be done by taking the whole. We need the whole. That can only be done if you had that was not Kodush to begin with. That's not something that we do because we have to do. For example, there was impurity and we had to remove ourselves from the impurities. But that is something that we can give a new dimension to something which, if we did not have that chol, we would never reach that dimension. He says, this is why, for example, that when the Kahanim would eat the meat of the sacrifices, the Besar Kodshim, this became mitzvah, which was not a mitzvah beforehand. Which was not a mitzvah beforehand. So, this is the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, where I will come down into this world, but it will be sanctified. It will be a dwelling place, and a Mikdash, a sanctity, which will raise it up into the next world. This is something which the nations of the world are unable to understand. And this is why you find that they go either to the right or to the left, in one direction or the other. But they cannot make peace with uniting both worlds together. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Oves, let me conclude with. Mishnah, two Mishnahs in Masechta Oves, we've mentioned before, that the Maral Miprag teaches that the Tana is bringing us this lesson. It's a Mishnah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud and Yud Aleph. First it states that Rabbeisa ben Hurkanis Omer, Rabbeisa ben Hurkanis said, Shina Shal Shachris, a person who spends a lot of time sleeping late in the morning. Now, a person who sleeps late in the morning, the morning was created, the sun was created to bring life back to the world, where everyone gets up and they start to go to work, they start to produce, be productive. So this is a person who's a very unproductive being. Shina shal shachris, he who sleeps late in the morning. V'yein shal tzohoroim. Tzohoroim should be the peak of the day. The tzohoroim was the the before noon. And that was the peak of the day. So that should be the peak of productivity. If you have Yain Shel Tzoharoyim, someone who indulges in a lot of wine at that time, this also is a person who's totally unproductive. Wine is good, but there's a time for it. Gemara brings a time for wine. Is after a day's work. After a day's work, and a person now is winding the day down, and he's coming to rest. So that's a good time for wine. I remember reading that when Russia was falling apart, the whole communist philosophy was falling apart because they had all lost their motivation. So a writer went into some of the interior of Russia and the villages and so forth, and he says he used to come there and it would be 11, 12 o'clock in the morning and all the farmers were drunk with vodka. See, this is when the Russia started. The tractors were sitting idle and they were all drunk with vodka. It's not so bad if they worked all day and they got drunk at night, see, but here at 11, 12 o'clock at noon they called it a day already. Alright, that's Yain Shel Tzoharoyim. Sichas HaYelodim. Sichas HaYelodim is someone who spends a lot of time conversing with children. Now this is also a sign of non-productivity, of idleness. Yeshivas Botik in Yisiois. Yeshivas Botik in Yisiois are people who spend a lot of time in gatherings just talking, empty talk. So all of this is idleness. He spends a lot of time with gatherings of ignorant people. So this is Meitzinus Odom Min Olam. These things will drive a person out of the world. The Maral says, what? This type of person, this is a type of person who's drawn totally into the depths of this world. He has no spirit in him. Where does a person get motivation? From the spirit. He doesn't get motivation from the physical goof, from the physical body. To the contrary, we see once that the spirit and the life leaves a person, so the physical body is daimim, then the physical body is totally idle. So when you see a person who is very idle, this is a sign of where the body is overpowering the spirit. Spirit is the momentum that moves the body. This is a person that has trouble moving. So this is a person who has become totally overwhelmed, attracted to Inyone Elam Azeh, to this world. Actually, what are we describing here? We're describing Mitzrayim and the Kananim, Egypt and the Kananim. Now the next Mishnah tells us that Rebleza Medea Emer, and such a person will be driven out of the world. He will destroy himself. We have another Mishnah. The next one states a Machalales Hakodesh Kodoshim, someone who disgraces that which is Kodosh in the Beis Hamikdash. Bamavazes Hamoades, and someone who disgraces the Yom Tovim. Bamalbim Bnei Chaveri Berabim, and someone who disgraces other people. Bavayf Mefer Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu, and someone who disgraces the bris mila of Avraham Avinu. Bamagalaponim b'teira shalei kalocha, and someone who gives interpretations in the Torah which are not in accordance to the truth of the Torah, even though he has Torah and deeds, ein lachelak leilam abo, he will not have a portion of the world to come. He says, what is this referring to? This is referring to the opposite type of person, the person who wants to lift himself off above this world, and he wants to climb into the heavens and totally divorce himself from this world. Now that person is contrary to everything in the Beis Hamikdash, because he would say, what are you building a house for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the heavens. You want a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you got to go up to the heavens. You don't build a house out of wood. You don't build an altar out of stone. You don't decorate it with this is what you do for a physical king, but not for Hashem. And you bring in animals, cattle. See, what is this? A stable, cattle with goats, and you make it kodosh. You make it holy yet. It's He's mechalel hakodshim. He says, no, he disgraces it. He cannot make peace with it. Why can't he make peace? Because he can't mix both worlds. By him, the kedusha, the sanctity, is only in the next world, in the bilti chaymer, in the non-physical worlds. He can't make peace with kedusha and physical. The mix of kedusha and the mix of the non-physical with the physical. And then he's mevazes ha-moedus. What's the moed? The yom tovim were given. The Gemara says, kula l'Hashem or lis chatzi l'Hashem. Kula l'Hashem or lis chatzi l'Hashem. It says on Yom Tov, some say you spend the whole day for yourself, others say at least half of the day. You must spend it in eating and in drinking and in simcha. Now this person, he can't make peace with this. This is what a Yom Tov is for, to eat and to drink. Now, Yom Tov means that you should totally divorce yourself from everything that's physical. So he's mevazes ha-moedus. He shames the Yom Tovim. Ha-malbim b'nei chaveir barabim. We are not allowed to disgrace a person, to embarrass a person. Why aren't we allowed to disgrace a person, to embarrass a person? It's because he was made b'tzelem elokim, states. Because a person was made in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has trouble with that also. Because how can it be? How can you equate man with Hashem? How can you equate man with Hashem? And therefore, he has difficulty with that also. Va'vefer brisa shel Avram Avinu. And he has great difficulty with the bris of Avram Avinu. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're telling me he wanted to make a covenant with Avram. And he wanted to sanctify Avram. See, he told him to circumcise himself. He says, how could he tell him to circumcise him? Well, how is that a sign of sanctity? Something like that, he says. That's from the lowly levels of this world. This is what he made the bris with Avram Avinu. And then he's megale ponim b'teira sheleka halocha. All of these mitzvahs in the Torah that we have that have to do dafke with gashmius, only with the physical indulgence, he reinterprets and misinterprets them in order that it should not come out this way. This person, even though he'll have Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, he could be a great Talmud Chacham, but he is like the Kahani Avdei Aveirah Zorah. He's like those from the idolatrous ways that have left this world, and therefore also he will have no Chelek Le'olam Habo. You want to live in this world and you want to live in the next world, then you have to use both worlds. But the first one, that is using only this world and not the next world, he'll be driven out of the world. And the second one, that's only using the next world and not this world, he'll lose that world. This is the power that Torah gave to Klal Yisrael. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I live in the heavens, but I want to live amongst you also. See? And therefore, also Limigdosh, make for me a physical home, but sanctify it where it becomes spirit. The physical becomes spiritual, and the spiritual becomes physical. And then I will be able to dwell amongst you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.